Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, he bought the house because it was affordable. The furniture, bought all secondhand. The presence in the hallway, that was never part of the deal.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. Welcome to the program. Yes, we'd love to hear your ghost stories. 855-853-4802, or you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and all that stuff, check us out on Patreon. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online to support the program and find us there. It's Tony, Todd, and Carol with you on today's edition of the program. And how is everyone?
Doing good.
Doing okay. You know, and I see that it's kind of weird because where I live, we're having big wildfires.
Oh, and I got an alert today about red flag warnings. You got wildfires there?
Yeah, and they're huge. And so we don't have any in Wichita. It's probably the closest one is about an hour away. But it was so weird. There are people posting videos from last night where it looks like it's snowing and it's ash from the fires.
Oh, God.
Like, I was walking yesterday, and first I was like, it's windy, but it's not windy to make the sky that dirty looking. Because, I mean, yeah. It's like, I'm in Kansas, 40-mile-an-hour winds are nothing. And then when I got home, I turned on the TV because I'm like, I wonder if there's something else going on. It's wildfires. So the sky was just this weird brown last night. And it was not cloudy. They made a big point of that. What you're seeing is actual ash and smoke from the fires.
It's wow.
So you're saying by the dark of the moon,
kind of.
You planted and then came an early snow, but it was you're hoot owling, hooting outside that window.
Hoot
about
nanny.
Six nights, Poot Nanny out that window about 6 nights in a row.
Oh my God.
She coming for you now?
The song Wildfire? Come on, Carol. You know that song, don't you?
And on wildfire wings, we'll both go.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be riding wildfire.
Guys, I have like a nightmare story about Michael Martin Murphy.
How is that possible?
You do, actually.
I actually do. One of the worst nights of my life.
Wait a second. Is he dead?
No, no. But they did a documentary. This guy that I kind of know. And it was about him on the range. And they wanted a scene in there where Michael Martin Murphy would come into a radio station, mine, that I was working at the time. And he would be playing Home on the Range live on my radio station. It was horrible. It was like what should have taken in my head. I know that video always takes longer than what you think. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking it would take an hour and a half. I got there at 5:30 and left at 11:30.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how long it took. And one by one, he got so pissed off. the rest of the band. Then he kept going, you get out of here. You're off key. What are you playing? It was like, it was horrible. I'm supposed to sit there the whole time, like I've been interviewing him. I had a couple lines.
Yeah.
Like, this is the movie you can see.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there like this. Just loving every second of listening to him sing it for the 100th time. Probably not 100 times, but I would say we easily did it 40 times.
So where can you see this work of art?
I don't know. I think it's called Home on the Range.
Michael Martin Murphy Home.
That's it's a documentary. He was just in it for that one scene. Because Home on the Range was written here in Kansas in this little shed and this little, like, I don't know what it is, like a little log cabin place. And that still exists somewhere in Kansas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just like, it was just the worst night.
He was not very nice as a personality, as a celebrity. You didn't like him very much?
He was nice to me because I realized that it would go better if I would say, that was really good. Your voice on that was amazing.
Instead of saying the obvious or
it was just it was the weirdest thing. I shouldn't probably share that behind the scenes story, but I just, after that, I was like, I couldn't get out of there fast enough. I'm like, I am so over this. I didn't get paid.
But you had the experience of Michael Martin Murphy singing Home on the Range 400 times in a row.
Yes, yes.
Seems like a fever dream almost, doesn't it? You know?
I don't think I've ever heard anybody ever say I had a nightmare about Michael Martin Murphy. I mean, that's pretty wild, Carol.
I think I will now.
Wildfire, Carol. You know, it was just like, it was just this... Like, it should have been pretty easy. I'm thinking, I don't even think they did the entire song. I think they did verse chorus even. I don't even think they did the whole song. I think there's, or maybe they did. I don't remember now. Because I know there's verses that nobody's ever heard before, really. But I'm like, how long is this going to take? You know, they're just going to get up there and sing.
Yeah.
Me at home. And I'm going to sit there and be like, you guys are so good. And it should be over in an hour max.
Wow.
And you probably thought that, like, it was going to be a short amount of time. You'd go out to dinner with Michael Martin Murphy, maybe end up on the tour bus.
Riding some wildfire.
That's right. Hey, those musicians, you know, they don't look at their wedding ring that often.
But they would look at their wife if she was
here. You'd just be looking at wildfire.
Oh, my God.
That's my new nickname for Carol now.
Please, no. Although I do think Wildfire is a great song. There's a new version of it with Michael Martin Murphy and Cody Johnson. That's really, really good. And it is a really well-written song. It's beautifully done. But,
Well, would you rather have listened? I know it's not him, but would you rather have listened to another, you know, song from the, like, Wichita Lineman over and over and over?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Very much. I think that's a great song.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's timeless. It really is a timeless song. It's just a very good song. Home on the Range is old.
And when Michael Martin Murphy comes to town, it invades your nightmares now.
You can thank Carol Hughes.
Tonight she'll be dreaming of literally the wildfire outside, and he'll come walking out between the flames with his arms reached out to you in the dream.
Oh, it was the longest night of my life.
Carol's longest night of her life was with Michael Martin Murphy.
And if I remember correctly, call, you know, because that's what you do, was like at 5 or 5:30. He got there at 7.
Bigger fish to fry. He's Michael Martin Murphy. He's out there riding wildfire. And did he have any other hit? Did he have other songs?
Didn't he?
He had a couple, but that was his big one. Yeah. I can't think of what. There's another one that was a big old hit. Maybe not big old, but it was a hit.
Just old. Just maybe take the big out of it. Just old hit. Or a ye. Maybe put a ye in there. Oh, ye old.
That's what forever's for. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah, that's what forever's for.
Yeah, yep. That's it.
Yep.
That's today's hits and yesterday's favorites on Y96 FM. All right, let's go to our, actually, I'm going to be reading a story here, so that's what forever's for. All right, when Aaron bought the house, he wasn't looking for history. He was looking for affordable. The place sat near the edge of a wide, quiet reservoir, far enough from town that the nights were genuinely dark. And it had been built in the early 1960s as a weekend retreat. And for most of its life, it had remained exactly that, a place people visited and then left. He was the first to live there full time. The house didn't feel haunted. It didn't feel warm either. It felt neutral, like a structure waiting to be used properly. He liked that. And after a year of upheaval in his personal life, neutral felt safe. Money was tight, so he filled the house the way many people do when they're rebuilding. Estate sales, church rummage tables, online listings from people cleaning out storage units. Nothing ornate, nothing symbolic, just practical pieces that filled space. One of the first larger items he brought was a narrow standing cabinet with glass front doors. It wasn't antique in any special sense, just older and solid. He placed it in the end of the hallway leading to the bedrooms. It fit the space well, gave it otherwise empty hall some weight. For the first few weeks, nothing happened. Then one afternoon while working at the kitchen table, he heard a slow shift in the hallway. Not a bang. Not the sharp pop of settling wood, and I repeat, bang. It went bang. It sounded like something easing their weight onto the floorboards. He turned, expecting to see something obvious. Maybe the cabinet door swinging or a draft moving through. The hallway was empty. He listened for another sound, but there wasn't one. He told himself it was the structure adjusting to temperature. Old wood has personality. That was that. Two nights later, he woke abruptly. There had been no noise that he could recall, no dream pulling him out of sleep. He was simply awake, heart beating slightly faster than normal. From his bed, he could see down the hallway. There was a shape standing there. It wasn't detailed. It wasn't solid. It was darker than the darkness around it, roughly human in height, positioned near the cabinet. It did not move at first, just occupied space. Aaron stared, waiting for his eyes to adjust. He expected the shape to resolve into something explainable, a trick of light, the cabinet door jar, a shadow cast at an odd angle. Instead, the shape shifted slightly, as if redistributing its weight from one foot to the other. His pulse thudded once in his chest. What surprised him most was that he did not feel terror. He felt irritation. It was the same feeling he would have if someone stood in his doorway without knocking. He blinked. The hallway was empty. Got out of bed and turned on the light. The cabinet doors were closed. The air felt ordinary. Nothing was out of place. Over the next week, subtle things began happening. The cabinet door would sit slightly open in the morning after he distinctly remembered closing it. A dining chair would angle away from the table. While washing dishes, he felt someone standing behind him. The sensation was specific and steady, not fleeting. When he turned, no one was there. None of it was dramatic. Nothing crashed, nothing screamed, nothing moved violently. It was simply the ongoing sense of shared space. The first time someone else noticed anything was during a visit from his nephew. The boy paused in the hallway, looked towards the cabinet, and asked, "Who's that?" "Who's who?" Aaron replied. "The tall man." There was no fear in the boy's voice, just curiosity. Aaron told him no one was there. The boy shrugged and moved on. That night, the shape returned. It stood in the hallway again, clearer than before, not detailed, but unmistakably present. It did not advance. It did not retreat. Aaron sat up in bed and said evenly, "You don't live here." The shape remained for several seconds, then gradually thinned and disappeared into the dark. After that, the activity changed. Not gone, changed. After that night, the activity didn't escalate. It became more deliberate. The cabinet doors stopped drifting open. The chairs remained in place. The house settled into an uneasy stillness, as if something had adjusted its behavior rather than lift all together. A few evenings later, Aaron was sitting in the living room waiting when he heard three slow steps in the hallway. They were measured and distinct, not the random creaks of beams expanding. The steps stopped just before the opening into the living room. He didn't look immediately. He listened. Silence followed. Then he felt it. Not a breeze, not a temperature change, but the clear sense that something was standing there just beyond the threshold. He raised his eyes towards the hallway, nothing visible. The space was empty, but the atmosphere felt occupied, as though something had paused mid-movement and chosen to remain unseen. He closed his book and said calmly, "If you're here, then just be here." It wasn't a challenge. It wasn't an invitation. It was a boundary. The air felt heavier for a moment, then eased. That night, he didn't see the figure. He didn't dream. In the dream, he stood in the hallway facing the cabinet. The man stood opposite him, not faceless, not distorted, simply indistinct around the edges, like a memory you can't quite sharpen. The man wasn't angry. He wasn't friendly. He seemed patient, as though waiting for Aaron to understand something that hadn't yet been explained. When Aaron woke, the house was quiet. Days passed without incident. Then one afternoon, while working from home, he heard something that unsettled him more than the visual encounters had. It was breathing. Not loud, but exaggerated. Just the soft, steady inhale and exhale of someone standing still. The sound came from the hallway. He froze, listening carefully. It wasn't the refrigerator cycling. It wasn't wind through the vents. It was distinctly human in rhythm. He waited, and the breathing stopped. He stood up slowly and walked to the hallway entrance. The cabinet doors were shut. The light filtered through the windows exactly as it always did. There was no one there. This time, though, he felt something different. Not irritation, not even awareness. Restraint. As if whatever shared the space had chosen to let him notice it only to a certain extent. That rationalization shifted something in him. He began thinking less about whether the presence was attached to the house and more about whether it had attached to the transition itself. He had filled an unused space with objects that had lived in other rooms, other houses, other lives. He'd brought movements into stillness. Perhaps whatever lingered in that hallway had not belonged in that structure at all. One evening, after a long day, he stood deliberately at the end of the hallway facing the cabinet. "This is my home," he said quietly. "You can stay if you're not here to harm anything, but this is mine." The words felt strange to say aloud, but they felt necessary. The hallway remained still. In the weeks that followed, the incidents became rare. Once late at night, he caught the faint outline of the figure again as he walked towards his bedroom without turning on the lights. It stood near the cabinet just as before, but it did not shift or step forward. It seemed thinner, less defined, like a shadow losing depth. He paused, letting his eyes adjust. The shape dissolved. After that, there were no more footsteps, no breathing, no open doors. The house returned to its original neutrality, that blank, uncharged stillness he had noticed the day he first walked through it. Months have passed since then. Aaron still lives there. The cabinet still stands at the end of the hallway. The wood still creaks occasionally, but in the ordinary way houses do. Every so often, when the house is completely silent and the light in the living room stretches unevenly into the hall, he feels a faint awareness at the edge of perception. Not threatening, not comforting, just the quiet suggestion that the space had once been shared. He no longer tests it. He no longer listens for footsteps. What remains isn't fear. It's the understanding that something occupied that hallway for a time, something aware enough to be noticed and restrained enough not to push further. Whatever it was, it chose to step back. Ta-da!
It's like a gentleman. Like a gentleman ghost.
Yes.
Like I'm kind of checking you out. I'm not sure why I'm here.
We're the aristocrats.
I'll leave. Yeah.
No.
I wonder if it actually went away, like completely left the area, or if it hung out, but just never felt like it needed to show itself again, you know?
I don't know. It could go either way, because it could have been something that was very curious about him, You know, and it could have been something attached to something he brought in the house. And he's curious, like, maybe it's a what am I doing here sort of feeling. Or who is that person in my house? It could go either way. But it seems very curious about him.
I wonder if being a ghost is like being in a confusing dream. You ever have that, like, where you're in a dream and, like, and you're just, I mean, I've had ones where I don't even know who I am, where I couldn't tell you anything about, like, at least not anything recent.
So it's like you have amnesia or something like
that? It's like you have Alzheimer's or something.
Oh.
And amnesia, I guess, to an extent, too. Yeah. And you're not quite sure where you're at. You're going around places, things like some things kind of make sense. Some things kind of don't. It's just a weird discombobulation of stuff. The best way I can describe kind of is early, AI video or even some images where just sometimes you get weird shit in there where it's like, what's that? That reminds me of a dream. I mean, and some videos that I've seen with AI very much remind me of dreams where just yes. things can shift and change. And that's an interesting thought process because the way it's being made with AI, and it seems to reflect also kind of how our dreams work too. The way that they can shift around from place to place and that this machine is essentially doing that with images. Anyway, I got off tangent. But I do wonder if that ghost is kind of in that state, if it's just like, I don't really know why I'm here, but I'm here. My energy is here. And you just kind of, you're constantly floating from energy or from place to place. And you're just kind of like, okay, not really sure what's going on, but you're also not really cognizant enough to be like freaking out either.
It also reminds me of too, of in that mindset when people pass away, like once they let go, and they realize it's time to let go, they're able to, right? So it's kind of like if you're a ghost, maybe when somebody says, listen, you can hang out if you want, but this isn't your place and blah, blah, blah. Maybe that's enough for them to then move on.
Because he did put his foot down.
Yeah.
He was like, this is my house.
Yeah.
Which if I were the confused thing wandering around, somebody's like, this is my house. I'd be like, yeah, my bad. Like, I don't even know why I'm here, you know?
And how maybe, do I get out of
look, here? I mean, half of the stories we have are like, I just asked it to leave and it stopped. Like, maybe that's what's going on.
Right.
That they're just, it's the confused state of energy. I mean, I don't know what the hell's going on in my brain when I'm in these, maybe I'm the ghost. Maybe that's what it is in some of these situations. Maybe it's my mind that's in some other weird fucking place and it's all kind of discombobulated for to me, but to somebody else, you know, there's a soda can moving around across the desk, you know? And all of a sudden, and I see them, they don't see me, and they're like, what are you doing here? I'd be like, I don't even know, you know?
I don't know, but how?
I mean, we've had stories where people were in a... had a dream of being back at her home and she was going back and in her backyard and she saw there was a family having a campfire at their old campfire pit. So warm memories for her, but it wasn't her family and it wasn't her house anymore. And she knew that she knew she was watching the owners of the new house and their family have a campfire back there. And in the dream, you know, she thought this is just what I envisioned of who's in my house. She had no idea who was in her childhood home. Goes back to the house. It kind of does the Miranda Lambert thing and knocks on the door. And guess who answers the door? One of the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Explain the Miranda Lambert thing, though. I mean, I like country music, but.
That built me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of, I got to reference that because it's been a few years now on that song, too. Yeah. So, yeah. Is she considered classic country now?
She would be in that. She's almost in the legends category. Yeah.
Yeah. She's close.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's so weird to me. Anyway.
The other day, Kathy and I did a story. There's two of them, actually, last week. One was about a woman haunting Fred Meyers. Another was about haunting at this guy's workplace where it was like factory sort of type place. And I'm like, I don't want that.
Right.
And I don't know what happens when you die, but if you're working at the Fred Meyers and then you die and
you're
like,
still working at Fred Meyers,
you are not coming this way. You're stuck at Fred Meyers. Because what did that person do that would have been so bad? Is that a punishment? Was that by choice? Do you just...
Or is it just you're doing Meyers? Your stuff every day? It's just you're like, I don't know, this seems right.
Because like the movie The Sixth Sense does a pretty good job of that. Because it's like, wouldn't you notice that nobody's really acknowledging you when you walk into the break room or you're scaring people all the time? It's like, well, I just wanted to help with the dishes in the break room and I scared the shit out of poor Jenny. And Jenny's not responding to me at all. Like at some point you would have to go, is it me?
It's almost like perma-drunk.
They were a great band in the 90s,
yeah,
weren't they?
Perma-drunk. Yeah. But it's a great band name.
It is.
Where it's like everything's an okay idea and you don't really care. Oh, we're going to do this now. All of a sudden you're like in a different house or something. And you're like, when did we go here? And you're like, you legitimately don't remember like going to another place. It's like kind of like that.
Yeah. And why am I attached to this table? Like, yeah. Why does anywhere this table go? I know I had it in my house. Like, but just a table.
It's drunk, but with competency. Cause like, you're like, there's a level of things that make sense, but all of the things that surround you, it's like, it's this fog basically. Yeah. And you can operate like within your little bubble and, oh, this makes sense. Okay, I'm going to do this. And you're just kind of moving by compulsion and doing what you think you're supposed to be doing. And as you continue to do it, like new things kind of intrude into that bubble. Oh, I'll do this now. It's kind of like that, I think. I hope it's better than that.
Yeah, I hope it's not like that at all. Because it reminds me of a drunken fest that I was on one time.
Yeah.
And you have your reality as the drunk person.
Yeah.
But you only see about this far in front of you. You know what's going on immediately around you. But there's all this other stuff that you may be influencing by what you're doing, but you have no freaking clue.
And it's weird when you have like a moment of like clarity on that too. Because you're like, shit, like, I could be like, I got to like really watch what I'm doing, but you're still drunk, you know? And you're like,
Cause it's like, you hear all these stories, the near death experience stories where they went there and there's this light or somebody they loved met him there. And they wanted so bad to go that way. And they're like, no, you have to go back. So did the Fred Meyers lady get to that point? And they're like, no, we don't want to go. Needs you there.
You need to go rotate the gallons of milk. You forgot to do that before you died.
Or at least pretend to be healthy.
This looks wonderful. Yeah, there's some expired bologna that we got to get out of here. So
nobody wants to deal with that, but you can. It is. I'm like, those two things don't always add up in my brain. Like, why is that? Because I don't think anybody would choose... They could go, you could go to the light and live in this, whatever it is. Everybody seems to find it very attractive.
Yeah.
And they want to go. Or do you want to go back to Fred Meyers? And if you're at Fred Meyers, is there a, like, you'll only be there for 5 years. And what's time in the afterlife? Or you'll be there for like 100 years. What is it?
Well, I will say this. I'm blissfully unaware in those states. I mean, it's only looking at it in horror from the outside where you're like, oh, God, you know, when you're in those states, you're just like, so I guess it wouldn't be that torturous at all. I mean, it's really just kind of like there's not stress. It's just kind of.
But you're at work for eternity. I want to leave work. Could I just do what I love? Like if you loved fishing, then just go fish. Yeah. But you love fishing.
I'll be sitting in this fucking basement forever.
That's right.
Right?
If anybody ever is like, I wonder if our house is haunted. And it's like, this house? Hi. We finally found the footage where he says he's going to haunt the shit out of the house. Hi, I'm going to haunt the shit out of the house. Enjoy.
Like the family's upstairs watching TV and they hear something about true crime and ghosts coming from the basement. They have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. And there's just like this table's rattling and they hear me like slamming my hand down and shit. And
he's like, it's me.
My pen's flying somewhere because that seems to be going on all the time now, Jeff.
And all the pens in the house that they have are all chewed on.
That's the sign it's me.
That's right.
Oh my God. Tony is really bad at that. And I remember.
I used to be too.
Back in the, at the radio station, like I would just collect them. I'd be like Tony's pens. And then and his own thing, Carol's pen, and her thing. And the next thing you know, my pen would be all chewed up at the on, and I'm like, I can't write with this pen that's all chewed up from you.
That's a weird one for me, and I don't know why, because it's like because I am considerate of other people's things. But when it came to pens, like I couldn't, it was like, it would end up in my, I would like have, cause I'm looking for a pen for a contest or some shit. And then, you know, I like not even thinking and I grab it. And before I know it, I've already eaten it. and it's like, oh shit, that was Carol's pen. So it's like, it wasn't intentional. I guess I would equate it to like a dog, you know, where it's like, bone! Oh, shit. Like, I was supposed to sit, you know? That, I think, is kind of like how I am with that.
I would bring them in one at a time. I would bring a pen, and that would be my pen until Tony chewed it. Then that would go in Tony's pen. Another pen. You had a really big collection of them for a while. Because recently I saw a Facebook post that I made about that.
You did?
Yes. It was like a picture of Tony's pens.
I love it.
Yeah. I think it said Tony's Chew Toys on it, if I remember. And that's not the only radio station that I've had a chew toy box at. So I think probably all of them. I think actually Terry once wrote a memo about it.
Shut up.
Yes. Yes. It was like an all staff, like, we know it was snarky, but he did. I think I have it somewhere in a box.
I always loved the memo notes to the entire staff when it really was just pertaining to one person and everybody knew who that person was.
Yes.
So just come talk to me, you know, you don't have to put it out to the entire staff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, but I had that same thing in my life where every pen was chewed. And if it was a Bic pen, the little thing that puts it on your, in your pocket, that would be chewed off. And, you know, I don't do that anymore. I don't know why, but I gave that up.
I don't really do it anymore. I mean, this, I'd break my teeth if I did it on this thing. And I don't really have Bic pens anymore.
That's good, Tony. Just don't bring them into your house.
I don't bring them into my life. They're toxic.
Have you seen them at the Walmart?
Well, this one has, I could probably do some damage to this, but it's been on my desk for like a year. So I haven't. This is my backup pen when this one gets flung across the room because I'm doing true crime shit and I get so worked up and I'm like, blah, 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 blah.
Got to get a sound effect of the glass breaking behind you like Letterman used to have.
One of these times it's going to break.
That's right.
One of these times, like, oh, we pierced the screen. Chewing in pens. Radio memos, another fun, just this came to mind. There was because they were cheap. There was the recycling of paper, and for whatever reason, there was something that like something was printed on a piece of paper that somebody didn't realize there was like inner office memo on. And I was like one of the first documents that was given to me there. And it was a memo from Biolo to all staff.
Oh God.
And it was about and it was like very explicit. It was like, whatever son of a bitch stole these caps off my desk, I'm going to fire your ass. And it was just like, oh, holy shit.
Carol, this was a station where not only did you use the front and the back of the paper, but they would print up something on the actual sides of the paper if they could do it. I mean, those pieces of paper were used a million times before they were ever recycled.
Yeah,
Then you'd find like shit you shouldn't read, like because it was like private memos and things. And I was like, who's Biolo? Like, I didn't even like know, you know. And I was just like, oh, this is where I'm going to go work. R.I.P. Tom Biolo. I know I have that one. I know I have that. That one is, that's in my nightstand in my home, in my parents' home in Fond du Lac.
Oh my God.
You know where it is.
Yes. Like the whole room has changed. It's just the same nightstand that's in there. But I think my yearbooks were in there. I don't know if they, maybe that's all been given to me now. I don't know. For years it was there because I'd visit, you know, and like, you're curious because I'm there like maybe once a year, if that. You know, like, oh, what's in the nightstand? You know, and like, I remember, that's how I remember that memo, because I've seen it repeatedly for the last 30 years. I'm like, oh, I think my first pay stub's in there too.
25 cents.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Well, this man would pay me out of his pocket when the boss man's would not for when I, I was starting. So, yeah, that was.
Got to do what you got to do.
That certainly kept me there. And I mean, I would have done it no matter what. My parents were always like, are you making enough money? Like I'd be there for free, you know, pretty much, you know, but yeah, that was like, yeah, my God. All right. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to our bonus episodes, our advanced episodes and all that stuff, check us out on Patreon. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online or on Apple Podcast, our premium channel there as well. Until next time, for Carol and Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.